Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
My name is Abby Murphy and welcome back to That's Life Podcast. I'm here alone by myself today. Sigh, I know, it's so sad, but it is for a very special reason. One of those reasons being that Ryan, my fiance, has a lot to do at work today, but also because we are going to be talking about a Christian's perspective on the engagement season. Now, this episode, it may seem like, oh, this is just for the girlies, like blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. This is for everyone, male, female. You can listen to this as a couple. I think next week I'm also going to tap into some of these questions that we were asked with Ryan. But I tried to answer some of the ones that were more geared towards like just one person specific or like me specific or even female specific during the engagement season. And yeah, but there are just so many great questions that I really want to invite Ryan into that conversation too. So this is probably going to be a two-part episode, one with me and then one to kind of get Ryan's perspective on things, which I feel like could be pretty cool too. So we'll just cross that bridge when we get there. But today is going to be me and you. So I'm going to break this podcast up. Guys, listen, I like wrote notes and everything. I'm really trying to get like on my stuff, like organizing things out and doing things so it's a little more structured. I still want this podcast to feel like authentic, but sometimes, you know, with my brain being a little scattered, it's hard for me to reel it in and rein it in, and we get off topic a lot. And so I really fully am going to seize this moment of being alone and get sorted out. Okay. Now, within the next couple of days, of weeks of seeing this podcast, you're going to see me probably in like different setups, in different backgrounds and situations, because Ryan and I have a house now. Woo! So anyways, where we normally film, this is just like the other side of the room. But anyways, I don't want to get too much into it because this kind of falls into the one of the categories that I'm going to talk about. So let me just sorry, I had a little bubble in my throat. I've been having some bubbles today, guys. Guys, I've been having some bubbles in my throat, and I've been having some, you know, bubbles in my stomach, if you know what I mean. And it's been crazy. One thing I will say, though, and Ryan isn't here to counteract me saying this, so I probably shouldn't even say it, but I'm going to say it anyways. I think Ryan is a sleep farter. Guys, I think Ryan is a sleep farter. I, like, will walk into our house and I'll like smell the room of where he slept. And I'm like, Ryan, are you farting in the night? Like, cause it's like kind of stinky. And obviously you can't control your farts when you're sleeping. So like no shame to him, cause I am a gassy, gassy woman. If you watch our TikTok, like it's just videos of me farting, but it's just something that I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. And now I think I am understanding it. So we have lots of Lysol and I kind of OD'd on the Lysol, sprayed it in like the house because it was like stinky. And then it was like, felt like you were inhaling like laundry detergent or something. So it's something I'm going to have to navigate. But these are the things you learn when you're about to move in together. So here are the topics that we're going to talk about today. I'm going to start with all of our personal updates, just because that can kind of give a little bit of a background if you're confused on Ryan and me. And if you're a first-time listener, my name's Abby. My fiance's name is Ryan. He proposed to me September 27th of 2024. It's now January, end of January 2025. And we are getting married in about a little less than 4 months. And then we're going to go on a 5-week honeymoon to Hawaii. So there's a lot to unpack there, and we're going to get into it. We are Christians. We believe the Bible. We believe in the Lord. We structure the foundation of our relationship and who we are on Jesus Christ. Our identity is found in Him. And then, you know, we will grow together in unity when that time comes post-marriage. But we are waiting till marriage. We are waiting to live together till marriage. We are saving ourselves for marriage. And that's just a little bit about us. So if you want some context on like, who am I about to listen to talk about engagement and give advice about engagement? Like, does this girl even have any credibility? I find everything I know and believe and share everything I know from mentors who are filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible, what the Bible says, myself who is filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't think there's any dating / engagement or marriage advice that I've taken and applied that hasn't come from a source in my life who is rooted in Jesus Christ. I really can confidently say that, I think. Slay. Awesome. So anyway, so we're going to get into some updates. Then we're going to go through hardships in engagement season, boundaries in engagement season. And then, oh, that's tragic. My hood, if you're watching, just fell off my head, and I'm covering up my hat / run hair with this hood right now. Scary. And then lastly, I'm going to just answer some questions that we put out on a question box on our Instagram. You can head over to That's Life Poddy, P-O-D-D-Y, if you want to get in on all the input on the podcast. It's like our personal brand / podcast. It's not like a separate podcast account for Ryan and I. It's like the one place, like one-stop shop for all content that we post. It's like our little hub. So with that being said, let's jump right on into our engagement updates. So Ryan and I have been dating since August 25th of 2023. So we've been together for like a year and a half, a little over a year and a half. By the end, when we get back from Hawaii, it'll be about 2 years of us like fully being together. And since we got engaged, we have planned our wedding. Our wedding is done. Good. Donezo. Planned our honeymoon. We have a house, and we've planned what the next 3-ish years will look like for us. And obviously, it's a very loose plan. It's more like the blueprint of the dreams that we want to accomplish. But obviously, the Lord's going to have His way. And we are both very aligned and very open to knowing the truth that Jesus Christ is going to have the final say. And the Lord has good plans for us. And so, obviously, it's not like we're like, oh, Lord, like, make our plans come true. It's very much so, Lord, have your way, and this is what we're going to prepare for, but you open another door, we're walking through it. So, our wedding is pretty much done. I think the only thing we need to do now is suits. So, for me personally, I take that back, because I have a dress, then I ended up not liking it, so I'm selling it, so I'm trying to find another one, which I'm not going to give details on what I want the dress to look like, obviously, but I was just finding myself struggling with the fact that I wanted a really, really simple dress that, honestly, there's not much to it. Like, it's going to be pretty simple and pretty casual, if I'm being quite honest, which is just so very me. And looking back now, I should have stuck to my guns, but I put this pressure on myself to reach a certain standard of like, quote unquote, bride that I had to fit in order to like look like a bride. Like, oh, you need to wear embellishments on your dress and have all of this extra added fluff and all these extra things. And so I tried to find like a happy medium between like what I wanted and then this like idea of like special day bride. And obviously I want to feel special, so I think I was kind of...
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Like forcing myself to be like, oh, in order to feel special, it needs to be a little more over the top of a dress than you actually want. So looking back now, I'm like, oh, I was just trying to force myself to like fit this mold. And I wish I wouldn't have spent the money on a dress to then try to be selling that dress in order to get another dress. But again, it all happens for a reason. And like, I may have not had the confirmation that I needed if it didn't go this way. And the fact that like, maybe I did get a dress I actually wanted and I was like, oh, well, would I feel more special if it was more done up? Like, you never know. So it all worked out the way it needed to work out. But with that being said, I'm looking for a dress. Ryan's going to get his suit. But I think everything else is pretty much planned. We're working with Leading Ladies LA for our, what's it called? Bridesmaids dresses. So we're working with them. We have black bridesmaids dresses. It's going to be black, which I'm really excited about. And everyone is choosing their own like style of what they wanted, which I've just always loved that. I love when all the bridesmaids kind of like get to choose their own look, which is really awesome. And then they also gave me like a cute little, the company that we're working with, they gave me a cute little like night of wedding, like nightgown thing and like a robe, which is like, ooh, this is kind of scary, but we're going to talk about that later. Anyways, then we have our food. We're doing appetizers because it's a midday wedding. It's from 3 to 6 on a Sunday. It's a Sunday wedding. So it's just a different vibe. It's a different time of day. It's a different hour. So there's just going to be a different culture to the wedding, which Ryan and I really like because we just want something that feels more chill. We're not super like late night party animal people. We love weddings. We love celebrating our friends, but we're not big like dancing at like parties doesn't come naturally to us. So we kind of have to like work ourselves into it. It just doesn't come naturally. And so we're like, well, then let's not like have that at our wedding if we don't genuinely really, you know, care about all that much. So we're not going to do the like regular reception party. We're just going to have kind of like the whole reception is just going to be games. We're going to have pickleball. We're going to have big puzzles, like custom puzzles for us, for the kids. We're going to have like custom coloring sheets and Jenga and card games and just fun things that, you know, even if they aren't being used, it sets the tone that like we're all just here to like hang out and have fun. It's a really, really small wedding. I think max, like we haven't had all of our RSVPs yet, but I think we're gonna have like 40 people. It's pretty small because Ryan and I wanted to elope originally, and then we're like, but I really want this person in my family to be there. And I really want this person in my family to be there. And it got to the point to where you just couldn't elope with the amount of people that we wanted, but it wasn't enough people for it to really be considered like an average sized wedding in like today's culture. So I would say it's like an elopement on steroids. Like it's a little bit more than an elopement, but we are going to the beach for our wedding. And there's going to be like, it's all family. It's literally family. That's it. And then for our wedding party, we have two family and two friends, and that's it. So it's either blood, relative, family, or like cousins, like that kind of thing. So it'll feel really, really special, and it'll feel very intimate. We're doing the appetizers, so we're saving money on like full dinner meals, which is nice. We're going to have Bake It by Angie cookies, which I'm so excited about. If you don't know Bake It by Angie, we review her cookies on our page and love her. Her cookies are insane. So we're going to have some Bake It by Angie cookies as little party favors. We have the Friday night, or not, is it on Friday or Saturday? I can't remember when our rehearsal dinner is, but we're going to have a rehearsal dinner kind of different. So we're going to go through the motions of what the ceremony is going to be like and everything, But we're going to do a pickleball. We're going to rent out like pickleball places. And instead of having a rehearsal dinner, we're just going to have like a rehearsal, like in place of what, when the rehearsal dinner would be, just like a get together, since it is such a small wedding, and have everyone just like come to the courts and play pickleball and hang out. And it'll kind of be more of like a welcome party vibe idea. Because the weather will be nice, it's at the beach, and everyone will just kind of like get to know each other, have fun, and it'll set the tone for a good weekend at the beach. And then after, we're just going to be like, hey guys, we're going to dinner if anyone wants to join. And then that way, again, it eliminates things on the budget. It eliminates, hey, you know, we're going to this place, you don't have to come if you don't like that kind of food, or, you know, whatever. Because sometimes, like, I get really overwhelmed with feeling the need to talk to a lot of people, and also feeling like I need to be on because this big event is happening. And it's just more chill. Like, Ryan and I just really, really, really want this to feel chill and fun and have it be what we want. And that's exactly what we want, is just to have fun with our people and celebrate love in the Lord. So that's our wedding. Engagement updates. So we have a house. We're renting a house for 15 months. We signed a 15-month lease, and it's this cutest little 3-bedroom house. I love it. We have Ryan and I's room, which right now it's Ryan's room, and then my office / the guest room. So we're going to have like a Murphy bed that pulls in and out, but it's also going to be my office for, you know, editing, social media, because I'll have that as like pretty much a full-time job. But I'm also starting a part-time job in next week, which it's February, so it'll start right in February, just to have some constant income as well, which is really nice going into a marriage. And then Ryan obviously has his full-time job that's remote, so he'll have his office in the 3rd bedroom. And that is also going to be the podcast studio. So on one side will be his desk, and then behind it will be our podcast studio, and then my desk / the guest room, and then our room. So those are what the 3 rooms are for. We have 2 bathrooms. So one will just be everybody bathroom, and then one is our bathroom. And then we have our kitchen and the living room, which is like the main space. I love it. We have a backyard, which is awesome. And I just can't wait to have people like fill the room, and it's just going to be amazing. My struggle is like, I just want to buy everything. I want to buy all the furniture. I want to do all the stuff. And I feel like we set our expectations up of like, oh, moving into a new house, I'm going to, you know, I really want to get all this stuff and make it look all nice and neat and have it be my aesthetic and blah, 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 blah. But it's like, money is a thing, you know, and it's just a slow process. Like, I'm finding that it's just not going to be so whimsical, and it's not going to be this cute montage video on social media that's like decorating my house and it's done now. It's a process that's going to take a long time. And honestly, it's probably not going to feel super, super homey for me even once our lease is up, because I don't live there until after we get back from Hawaii. So the timeline is, we just signed our lease, so it's January. Ryan and I get married in May. Then we go to Hawaii for all of June. So I don't live there until July. And I'll only be in that house for like a year. And a year goes by pretty quickly. And with the amount of traveling that Ryan and I do, like on the weekends or for work, I don't know. It's just, I feel like our lease is going to be up and I'm going to be like, whoa. So I'm trying to make an active step now in spending majority of my time at that house. So this is what I really wanted to talk about, because I feel like a lot of people are under the impression that Ryan and I are living together, which makes sense because majority of the content that we're putting out now is from that house. I'm literally going to get groceries for us. Like, I'm, you know, getting ready there or making food there, making meals there. I'm there early in the morning, late at night, like whatever.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
And that is very intentional. Now, you can have all the opinions in the world that you want of how I'm doing this, but this is something I've talked to mentors about, something that I've prayed about, of just how to navigate what it's like to have a house with your partner but not live there, because you are waiting and you do value waiting for marriage. And that's something Ryan and I have valued from the start. Like, we will not sleep in the same bed together. We will not share intimacy before getting married. I'm a virgin. I've never done that before. And, you know, I'm not about, with 4 months left, I'm not about to, you know, end that now. Like, I've waited this long. And also, I mean, that's what the Bible says. Like, the Lord is the Lord. So what he says goes. Like, I'm not going to, you know, break that now just because I know we're getting engaged. Like, what's the point? You know, what am I getting? Like, what am I getting out of that? So anyways, I am not living with Ryan. Ryan and I are not living together, but I am actively trying to set up a new routine, because I am such a routine person, that and start associating our house as my house. Because right now I live with my parents. I've always lived with my parents unless I'm at college. And I lived in Texas for a little bit by myself. But that's pretty much it. I've either lived in Nashville in a dorm or lived at home. And as someone who's really routine and also is going to go straight to Hawaii for 5 weeks right after getting married and won't be able to like establish normalcy until about 5 to 6 weeks after getting married, I need to start implementing some habits now. I need that for myself. So I'm actively, you know, waking up in the mornings, having all my meals over at that house, showering at that house. I mean, not with Ryan, duh, but I have my clothes there, like another toothbrush there, another hairbrush there. Same as like, so that like, say I get back from Sunday and it's not like, oh, I'm going to go home and change clothes. Like, no, I have clothes at my house because it's my house. And yeah, I think it's going to be really good. I'm just really nervous because I am so comfortable and set in my ways. And so this is just a public service announcement. No, I am not living with Ryan. I'm just trying to actively break the mental habit in my brain that my home is my home. You know, like when you get married and you go live with someone, like you leave your mother and father. Like the Bible talks about how a child will leave his mother and father. And I still associate mom and dad as home, and that will always be home. But for me, I need it to be childhood home, because I'm starting a new life with someone else. And Ryan and I have talked about this a lot, but like my mom shouldn't be the person I go to initially to talk about hard things with. It should be Ryan. And not saying you can't talk with your mom, but the relationship that me and my mom have, like I would go to her for everything. And it's like, no. Like that's Ryan's job as the husband. Like you guys are one now. And you know, there are certain topics that like to honor Ryan and honor our relationship, like that stay between us. And that's something that we've talked to many couples about, of that mentor us as well, of like, hey, Abby, you probably need to, you know, check yourself. Like Ryan and you are about to be one, and y'all's business isn't everybody's business. I'm a chronic oversharer. But I am realizing within this engagement season how much I need to shift my ways of thinking and sharing and talking and my go-to points. Like Ryan's my emergency contact now. Like we're about to combine finances. I mean, just all of these things that are so much change. And it's like, okay, Abby, like you've waited and now it's time to start changing your thinking and shifting the way that you've lived your life for so long. So those are our updates. And I can't wait to get married and then live in Hawaii for 5 weeks. We're not fully moving there. We are going there for 5 weeks. as an extended honeymoon. So we'll have a week at a resort for our actual honeymoon. And then we got the cutest little Airbnb on the same island that we're going to. And we're going to stay there for about 4-ish weeks, the whole month of June. And we both are remote. I worked it out with my job as well to where I'll be remote for that month. And we'll just work from there and live in Hawaii. And it'll be awesome and amazing and super, super fun. We're going to come back and finish out our lease. And then we are doing a travel fund with our wedding registry. So we're like swapping a wedding registry for a travel fund. And hopefully we'll get to travel some within that next year. We'll see how it all works out. But that's the game plan right now. So those are our updates. Now let's get into the hardships. So I have felt, and I think I talked a little bit about this in last week's episode, but like something that people don't tell you a lot, I feel like. And I mean, now that I'm listening to more like engagement things and more marriage things, like marriage books and things like that, I feel like the devil works extra hard during this engagement season. And I talked about it a little bit last week, but just things between Ryan and I that are really, really, really hard that weren't as hard when we were dating. And I honestly feel like they are harder in engagement than they will be in marriage. Now, I don't know. I don't want to like cause any, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. I mean, because I don't know. But I will say that we have had so many deep conversations about certain things that we had conversations about in dating and were able to like move on and grow from pretty quickly, but they've like resurfaced again in engagement. So if you are also in an engagement season or about to be there, be on guard extra, like extra load yourself up with the armor of God, breastplate of righteousness, like get ready, because there are going to be irrational thoughts. There are going to be silly fights that just don't mean anything to you. And it's just, it's going to be hard, but it's going to be more good than bad, obviously. But I mean, even for me personally, like there have been things in my walk with Jesus during this engagement season of, I mean, I've talked to you guys about like just no desire to read the Bible at all. I mean, I'm not in that place anymore. Thank God, literally, thank God. But I had never really struggled with that. And it started during engagement season. I had never struggled with feeling so insecure in my abilities to be a good partner until I got engaged. I had never had these silly rational thoughts of certain like spiritual warfare things until I got engaged. Like it doesn't even have to do with engagement. It can be about anything, because the devil's going to try to steal and use anything to try to tear your relationship down. Because when two believers are coming together in unity, that's such an amazing thing. And it is something that the devil sees and is like, oh shoot, this is going to be powerful. So obviously he's going to try to work extra hard to take you down. So also know that like you are made righteous in the Lord, and you and your person are about to come together to become one, to be another body in heaven's armies, and it's going to be amazing. And you guys are going to spread the gospel together and do ministry together and just be on fire for the Lord together. And that's threatening to the devil. So just know this too shall pass, but be on guard. The next thing. So I'm about to get real, real, real with y'all. Okay. Which this isn't something that I brought up to Ryan until like really, really when we started marriage counseling, which has been recent. We started marriage counseling a couple weeks ago. I had like talked to him about it to a point to where I felt like the conversation needed to end. Like it was like we have set boundaries throughout dating of like, you know, we aren't going to talk about this, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I talked about it that fit within that boundary. But we went to marriage counseling and I thought I was kind of past this. And then it like resurfaced again. And again, it is so like the devil to take something beautiful created by God and then just twist it in your brain and create fear. But I'm going to tell it to you guys because I didn't hear a lot of people struggle with this until I told some of my mentors or people that I looked up to that I struggled with it. And then they were like, oh yeah, me too. And I was like, what? Like, I don't understand. So we are going to talk about sex. I know, crazy. Here is the thing. I am a virgin, and I am a virgin because I am waiting to have sex until I am married, because I will only have sex with my husband, because that is the way the Lord intended it. That is the way the Lord intended sexual intimacy to be. Okay. I am proud of that. I am boasting in the Lord because of that, because that's not common. And that's something that I feel like is hard to find. And I am also just realizing during this time, bear with me because I'm going to try to find my words because it is kind of hard to share, but I think it's important. I am trying to navigate now that feeling that sex is not bad. And I didn't even realize that I thought like sex was bad until I realized that I was about to have it. And I've always loved to talk about like sex in, you know, in the Bible and the way the Lord intended it. And, you know, even through dating, like having the talk with my boyfriends that I would date and be like, yeah, like, you know, I'm not going to do that until I'm married because it's such a beautiful thing created by God and the world has ruined it. Like, I know the truth that it is a beautiful thing, but I've never let myself fantasize about it. I've never let myself even really think about like the physicality of it. I just know the idea of what it is. But, you know, the Bible says that like, even if you think about it in your brain, like to a certain extent and with certain scenarios, obviously I'm not going to like just think about it, you know, because then it's still kind of like doing it in a way. And it just like teases you. You know what I mean? Like if I'm not going to have sex with someone, I don't need to think about it. And so I just never did. I never even thought about it. Never let myself go there. Never. I mean, unless it was like a quick fleeting thought that I would just try to push out, like never pictured someone naked, like nothing. And now I'm like, oh, okay, wait, this is about to happen. I'm 22 years old and this is about to happen. And I am scared. I'm really scared because I had a little phase of this right when I got engaged of just like, wait, I'm scared because truly, again, I know how things are supposed to go. I know how it works. Like, hear me. I know how it works. Okay. But like, I've had the talk. We're good. I know like precautions to take, all the things. But like, it's kind of like when you, before you have your first kiss, like everyone has had their first kiss. And for a lot of people, it's like scary because you're like, I don't know what to do. Like, do I move my head? Do I like, how do I position my lips? Like, do I close my eyes? Do I go in? Like, do I go to specific side? Like, you have all these questions because you just don't know. And the answer that the other person gives you is like, it'll just happen. Like, you'll just do it and it'll just happen. And that's kind of what I'm feeling right now of like, but I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what to do. Well, what do you mean I'm supposed to show my naked body to my, at the time that it'll be, husband? Like, what do you mean? No one's ever seen anything of me, ever. No, like, male meaning. I mean, I've like had a roommate at college. Like, obviously we've seen each other. Okay, anyways, that doesn't matter. But you know what I mean? Like, no male has ever seen me naked. No male has ever touched anything like in there. I've never like put anything in there. I've never sexually pleased myself, like none of it. I mean, y'all are finding out all this about me right now, but like, I just think it's so important because I'm scared and I'm trying to break that habit and I forget that God created it. And the devil is trying to like steal that truth from me and steal this wonderful thing that I've saved myself for and try to terrify me from it. I was on a run like 2 days ago and this just caught me off guard because I sought wise counsel and talked to girls about it and felt so much comfort of like, okay, Abby, you've waited this long. Stop asking yourself the what ifs. Like the Lord's going to bless this because you've done it the way he intended it. And so I just kind of like, you know, breathed. And I did talk to Ryan about it. I talked to him about it and expressed with him some of my worries and fears of like, what if I'm not good enough? What if you, you know, are not pleased? Or, you know, what if I don't know what to do? And ladies, like when I really don't think you should talk about this in dating. I think you should talk about it when you're very close to getting married within your engagement season, just because you don't want to talk about it and then tease yourself or lead yourself to fall into temptation and not be able to come back from it. So be mindful of the way you go about the conversation. But anyways, if/when this conversation happens, if he does not provide you comfort in that moment and condemns you for having worries and fears, he's one, insecure, two, might not be the person for you. And I'm being so real about that because Ryan didn't take anything personally and he wasn't like, are you not attracted to me or you're scared of me or blah, blah, blah. It was very much so like, hey, we're going to figure this out together. It's my first time too. Now, not in a literal sense, but like, he's made new and his story is beautiful and it's not mine to tell, but we'll share his testimony on here at some point. But all that to say, like, he assured me like, Abby, this is us doing this together for the first time and it's going to be new for both of us. I'm starting at the same place you are. And that like totally shifted my perspective and made me think about it so different. And so that mixed with just like counsel from ladies and seeking advice kind of helped me get out of it. But I was on a run 2 days ago, 3 days, 4 days ago, I don't know. And it just randomly popped into my brain, the like actual physicality of it, of like the actual feelings of it. Now, I don't know what it feels like, but a person can imagine, you know, and it's also just been told to me like that it's going to be kind of painful and awkward and uncomfortable and, you know, not like the movies and, you know, just all these things. And, it just hit me and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm scared. What? Wait, what is about to happen to me? What is it going to feel like? Am I going to feel out of control? I mean, just I got like body chills because I was like, is it going to be too much? Am I going to get overstimulated? Is it going to be like too far?
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
First of all, I'm so scared. I'm so scared. And so I talked with Ryan about it and I got real. Like I got real, real. Cause I was like, we're at the point now, you need to know all of this. Not because I don't trust you. Not because I'm not like excited about it, but because I need you to know everything I'm feeling about this. I need you to know I can't hold anything back from you because this is going to be us two together. And if I have worries or fears and you don't know them, it's only going to add more. And so we talked about it. And again, like he really just brought it to me of like the devil is just trying to take something so beautiful and twist it in my brain. And I forget that God literally created it. So if God created it and we're doing it in the way that God intended it, then it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It's going to be a good thing. And he's going to be saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Like, and that's really what I'm clinging to right now. because unknown is scary for anyone. But I'm someone who really struggles with control as well. And, you know, before I did my first marathon, like, I didn't know what it was going to feel like. And it was so scary. But then I went for another marathon and I was like, okay, I know what to anticipate. So we're going to be good. I wasn't as nervous. And it's kind of the same thing. Like, I think it's just the anticipation of never doing it that it's like, ooh. And like also knowing when we are planning to do it for the first time, that's just kind of like, I don't know. I didn't anticipate having like another comeback of feelings, but more in the physical way. And it has nothing to do with Ryan. It just has everything to do with the idea of sex. But the Lord created it, so it's good. And I have to say that over myself. So if you're also feeling this way, know you're not alone. And remind yourself that God has good plans for you. And that's the way he planned it to be when man joins woman in marriage. Woman joins man in marriage. Whatever. So it will be good. It will be good. Anyways, that was like a lot. But I just think it's important. And now we're moving on. Okay, boundaries. The big one with me for boundaries and engagement season is this house, honestly. Because we're spending a lot more time together now because I'm spending my days there now. We both work from home and we're just together a lot. So we have to establish even more boundaries. Boundaries of like, I don't know, even little things. I'm trying to give like specific examples. I don't even know. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm drawing a blank right now, but just boundaries. And it's very like couple specific. But when you spend more time together, it's easy just to be like, oh, well, maybe I should just, oh, okay, this is a good one. Like, oh, maybe I should just live here because, you know, we're not sleeping in the same bed. Like, we're not, you know, like sleeping together. Like, we're not going to do whatever. So, like, maybe I should just move in. Like, we're 4 months away anyway. So, like, might as well. No, no, that's a non-negotiable boundary for me. I will not start living with Ryan until we're married. Because that is something that we told ourselves we wouldn't do, that we're saying on the internet that we're not going to do. So we're not going to do it. That's something I would feel convicted about if I did, because that leads to, oh, well, maybe we can just sleep in the same bed because like we're not having sex together. So like, I don't know, until you get so close to that line, like it feels like you're trying to get closer, like as close as you can to the line of sin without crossing it. But then like it just, you just do it until just one day you just accidentally do it. And it's like, oh, like we shouldn't have done that. Okay, well, where did it start from? Something as silly as like, you know what? We're going to stop making out. Like Ryan and I made that a rule because we couldn't, you know, we got too in the moment to a point to where we were like, okay, we're going a little too far. We don't want to do this anymore. So we completely cut it out. I can't tell you the last time. I don't know. I really don't know the last time we made out. I can't even. It was when we prayed that prayer of like, okay, Lord, we're going to stop. Because we don't want to try to get so close to the line of sin that we accidentally end up messing up or doing things we don't want to do that you can't take back. Now you can ask forgiveness and the Lord will forgive, but I don't. It's just, you know, if you know better, go ahead and just put those extremes in now. Because the closer you get to marriage, the easier it's going to be to slip on those boundaries because you're just so close. So it doesn't matter. But it's like, no, we're so close. So why would we give up now? Why would you give up now? It's like the same as like eating healthy all day and then just like being a pig at night. Like, no, owe it to yourself to give the full 24 hours of eating healthy. Like, why would you just give up because it's the nighttime? Anyways, moving on. Okay. So another thing about boundaries, the more time we spend together, the more we realize emotions and needs and just like the way that we talk. In this season of engagement, of really, really being on the tail end of it, Ryan and I are having the most intentional, deep, kind of exhausting talks that we've ever had. Because we're just spending more time together. We're planning things. We're spending more time with each other's families. We're noticing things in each other's families that have trickled down into us. And it's a lot. And also, it's very easy to like brush it under the rug because it's easy to think like, oh, when we get married, this won't matter. Or, oh, this is really cute and endearing in like the dating season. But then you get to engagement or marriage and you're like, oh my gosh, this is actually getting on my nerves. But now we're too far in. I can't bring it up because I thought it was cute and dating, but now it's not cute anymore because I'm annoyed by it. Like just all of these things that over time you need to bring up, but sometimes we don't always want to bring up, and you only owe it to yourself and to your relationship to have those hard conversations, because I'm telling you, y'all, it will benefit you in some way. It will benefit you in some way, whether it benefits both of you and you walk away happy, or it benefits your relationship because it's resurfaced things that you guys need to work on, and it may be hard, but it's still beneficial. Honesty is the only way for a relationship to thrive. You cannot form a relationship off of dishonesty or out of not telling the truth out of sake of not wanting to cause conflict or not wanting to hurt someone else's feelings. I mean, yesterday, Ryan and I had like 4 pretty intense talks that all ended great, but like started off hard and was like, hey, so this is something I'm noticing. Can we like talk about it? And usually if the other person gets a negative emotion or feeling in some way from that conversation, it probably means that they need to work on it. But I think the thing is, going into those conversations, it doesn't need to be with a pointed finger. It needs to be with an open heart and a mirror of looking at yourself. For example, if a conversation I had with Ryan, which he wouldn't care me sharing, was about him sharing his emotions. I feel like that's very common for a lot of men. You're just told like, get over it. Don't share your emotions, yada, yada, yada. And for females, like we're nurturers. We want to know those emotions and we thrive off of, you know, those words of affirmation that stem from, you know, tapping into emotions. And a lot of what I realize in Ryan is him just kind of like acting funny or acting weird or being more to himself. And then I ask him, you know, what's up? And he's like, nothing. And the thing is, he's not even lying. Like, it's not when a guy asks a girl if something's wrong and she says no, and she's obviously upset, but she's just saying no. It's different because like, I feel like he doesn't even know what's going on. So he just thinks it's fine. Like, he genuinely thinks it's fine. He just doesn't know how to like tap into that emotion. And so he's like, oh yeah, I'm good. But like, he's really not. So it takes a lot of like digging, which I'm fine with doing because I just feel that on my heart. Like, there's something going on. There's something going on. So like, we were sitting on the couch and I was like, what's up? And he was like, nothing. Like, I'm fine. It was like 10 I'm fines until he was like, well, actually, like, and then we got into the conversation and it ended with me being like, hey, this isn't, you know, he was saying like, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you all I felt. And as me in the relationship, who's more in touch with her emotions, almost to a point of being overly dramatic, which, you know, is again, why it's a good balance between the two of us. That assurance of, hey, like you lowering your pride to try to be, you know, this constant figure in my life and actually telling me how you feel is actually a great way to lead me, because I have all of these emotions and all of this caregiving to give and all of this nurturing that I want to be able to give, but I don't know how to navigate giving it. And so sometimes it comes out as overly emotional, but like, as a man who wants to lead in a relationship and who wants to be a rock and who wants to be a firm foundation, like help guide my feelings and where they need to go by telling me how you feel so I can give that to you. And I think it's just a way of like, you know, saying it that way instead of saying like, I wish you would tell me your emotions more because it's just so annoying and blah, 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 blah. And again, that's an extreme, but coming at it from a place of like, my downfall, here is my downfall. And now let's look at something you could work on as well and see how we can work together to both grow in that, rather than like, I'm right, you're wrong, let's fix it, like, see where I'm coming from. Game changing in hard conversations. Literally game changing, because we both left that conversation empowered. We both left that conversation knowing we had things to work on, and we also had things that we could grow in together, and we also had things that we offered to each other that are strengths that each one of us don't have. There are going to be a lot of those conversations, and it's going to feel like they never end, and it's going to feel like there's a lot of them. Like, we have had the most intense conversations, good and bad, within the past like month than we have in a, like, all of our dating. But it's because we're spending more time with each other, we're getting real with each other, and because we owe it to ourselves to not just brush it to the side because we don't feel like talking about it. But like, if you don't talk about those things with your person, especially when you're first starting a relationship, like, how do you expect to keep an open and honest relationship and connection throughout your entire life? Like, you've got to start putting those habits in now. Now. Do it now, people. All right. Anyways, moving on. The last thing I kind of talked about, and I talked about it a little bit in the beginning of this podcast, is breaking the "my mom is my person" mindset. Now hear me, mom. I know you're going to watch this. You will always be my person. You will always be my girl. You will always be my go-to. But this is to the point of, like, Abby is a mama's girl. Abby is a stay-at-home, I love my parents girl. And recently I've been working on breaking the stigma that, like, I have to ask my mom for permission to do something, because I don't. I'm an adult. I'm a fully a grown adult. I feel like a lot of people may, I mean, maybe I'm alone on this. Maybe I'm an island on this, but I'm blessed to have a really, really close relationship with my mom, to where, like, we've been a package deal. Like, Ryan met my mom, I think the second day we hung out, because I just am always with my mom. And I am a lot like my mother as well, which just, you know, adds even more fuel to the fire. But I say that to say, like, Ryan is my person. Ryan and I are becoming one. I need to go to Ryan first. I don't need to go to my mom to talk about things that I'm struggling with Ryan. I need to go to Ryan with that. And that's something that when we first started dating, when you first start dating, and then, like, where the place where Ryan and I are at now, like, you shouldn't be in the same place when you start a relationship than when you are about to get married. So, you know, but the thing is, like, I think I'm still a little bit too much mama's girl. And I think it's helping that I'm spending more of my time in our new house as well. But, and I will always have a super, super close relationship with my mom. Again, mom, I love you. Truly. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still always going to be your little girl. But, like, Ryan is my person. Ryan is the person I make decisions with. Ryan is the person that I consult with about things, not my mother. And that's something hard. That's something that makes me feel like I'm, like, walking away from my childhood. But, like, I kind of am. Like, I'm getting married. I'll always obey my mom. I'll always obey my dad. But I'm starting a new life. And it's time for me to accept that. So those are all the categories that I had. Now let's move on and do a little speed round of some questions that I really, really liked. So the first one, what are you glad you discussed before getting engaged? Sex, fears, worries, things we saw in the other person that worry us about marriage in the future, things that I am worried about in the long term of marriage, things that we're happy about in engagement now. I feel like it's very easy to talk about worries, fears, downfalls, but building each other up is even more important, especially because, like I talked about in the beginning, like, Satan is working extra hard. So making sure that in all of the hard conversations that you're building each other up and speaking truth over each other and affirming each other is so important. One thing that Ryan and I did, which I got from the book, I took a picture of it so that I wouldn't forget. Things I Wish I'd Known Before We Got Married by Gary Chapman. I'm listening to it on audiobook right now, but in one of his chapters, he talked about how the woman in the relationship usually takes a lot of traits from her mother, and the man in the relationship usually takes a lot of traits from the father. And you'll be pretty similar to those people unless you take active steps to not be like those people. And so he suggested to do this activity, and Ryan and I did it, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I feel like we both became aware of things that we weren't even necessarily aware that we had. And we also became aware of things that were important to the other person that were kind of fears and worries for them. So what you do is you sit down with each other, and Ryan and I just went back and forth, and I said things about his father, and he said things about my mother, which this is the activity that Gary Chapman provides. And we sit down with those things and we talk about, okay, these are things that I observe about your parent that I can see being a potential in you in a marriage, and this is how I feel about it, basically. And it was great. It was so good. It was an amazing conversation. So I definitely suggest doing that. Thank you, Gary Chapman, for that little suggestion. The next thing, things you're most nervous about when married. Ryan and I have talked about this, but I think my biggest fear.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Because I've noticed this becoming a trend when I had roommates, or when I lived with people, or I literally lived with like another family when I was in Texas, is becoming roommates and coexisting. My biggest fear is that Ryan and I will just get so into routine, or we'll just get so comfortable with each other that we just start to coexist and we become roommates. It's like we're living in the same house together and we just come and go, but like we don't talk and we don't continue that spark. And Ryan was like, we've got to continue to plan intentional dates. We've got to continue to talk to each other. So Ryan and I are setting a new rule where we're not allowed to watch TV while we eat dinner. We have to talk. So every night we're going to talk instead of watching TV, just because then that like forces good conversation. I mean, obviously we want to like plan dates and do like big dates and things like that, which I think we're going to set a, like when we're married, like a schedule, because we're both also very like, oh, let's not do it tonight. And let's not do it tonight. We're going to schedule that. I am a little nervous about money, just because since I've lived at home, I haven't really ever fully relied on myself financially, which I'm very blessed to have parents that allow me to live at home, to be able to do that and to be able to save money. But when I did live on my own, like I knew that it was only for like a short amount of time, so I could budget for that amount of time. But I think just it's kind of daunting to know like, oh, I'm about to be on my own forever and ever and ever now until I go to heaven, and then money doesn't matter. But I just have to remind myself, you know, everything is meaningless. Money is the root of all evil. And also I will have a husband who, you know, is going to guide me in that and walk me through in that. So that's been something really good. And that's also something we're going to plan, is we are going to like create like Google Calendar meeting times once a month to talk about money. Like it's going to be our money meeting, which I'm excited about that, because we've kind of already implemented, since we work together on the podcast, like podcast meetings, so that our relationship just doesn't revolve around the podcast. When we first started the podcast, that's all we talked about, and it was really hard not to. And then we noticed like, hey, we're like literally only talking about the podcast and about social media and ideas. And maybe we should condense that into like a meeting instead, so that our relationship doesn't become work. So that's a good boundary we've set in place. And I think that'll set us up for success in marriage, because, you know, we only want to grow more with the podcast, which means we're going to work together for the rest of our lives. I don't see us ever not working together. and we love it. We love working together. But I definitely could see that like roommate coexisting thing happening just because we are together so much. So setting those boundaries and breaking those times up of, okay, like now we're going to have date. Now we're going to talk about us. Okay, now this is a meeting about work. I think that will really help us and set us up for success. What's the hardest part of a long engagement? Ryan and I's engagement isn't really too long, which is nice. I feel like the longer it gets, just the harder it gets to wait, honestly. And for us, it's not even like the waiting physically. It's the waiting of just like the fun things. Like, I don't want to leave super late at night and be like, okay, going home now, I'm going to go sleep. Like, that's annoying. I want to like live at my house and sleep in the same bed as my husband. Like, just those little things of, you know, like, I don't know. I don't want to use Venmo anymore. I want us to just have the same card and it doesn't matter. Or silly things like that. I don't know. But, you know, it's just hard because you're taking all these steps of like looking for places together, planning trips together, doing things together. But then it's like, okay, but now we're still going to wait. And that's hard. It's just like, oh, we're waiting for it to come, but it's not there yet. Or, you know, setting out your 5-year plan and budgeting, but it's just not real. Like you can't really budget yet because legally like your bank accounts aren't aligned. And it's just like, I don't know. I'm just ready. I'm so, so, so ready. I would really heavily encourage eloping if you're resonating with a lot that I'm saying, or if you feel like your personalities within your couples are pretty similar to Ryan and I would very heavily advise you to consider eloping. What are new boundaries you've had to set in place since becoming engaged? This is an interesting one because I feel like since we've become engaged, we've actually taken like steps back even too much to where like it's like really like I used to be pretty affectionate, like physically with Ryan, holding his hand, like giving him hugs, rubbing his back, you know, just things where his love language is physical touch. And so, you know, he felt really loved in that. But I'm feeling pretty like, oh, Abby, you might have gone a little too extreme now, because I like don't really touch the guy all that often. And it really started in engagement season a lot. And since it is his primary love language, I have noticed that like I really am not feeling that for him, which is hard because like I want it to come naturally from me. And I've just put in like some those boundaries super hard to where it's like, oh, I literally like don't really ever reach out to hold your hand. Now, obviously we hold hands, like don't get me wrong, but I don't know. I think you have to be really, really careful about the boundaries that you set in place, because if you're an all or nothing person like me, you got to get real specific, real, real specific. I really am glad that we set the boundary of not living together. I'm really glad that we set the boundary of, I feel like sometimes boundaries, it's like, don't do this, don't, not. But like, we've also set good boundaries of, you know, like the talking during dinner, or we're reading a book together right now. We're going to start praying together here soon, like really intentionally praying together, because we actually read this book, which, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but hopefully we're going to get the author on a podcast. But we read this book about like praying together, and literally the first page talked about like how intimate prayer together can be, and you really have to be careful about it. And so, you know, we did want to be careful on like how we prayed together and wanted to set proper boundaries in that. And now we're kind of at the point of like, okay, let's start really intentionally praying together, because, you know, we are about to be one. Ryan and I are really big on focusing on, you know, having our own intimate relationships with the Lord and not like having a relationship with each other that chases the Lord, because those are completely different. However, like when we're married, I think that, you know, the 2 + 2 = 3 thing, you know, like it's me, Ryan, and God. And we will also still have our own intentional intimate relationships with the Lord. But that like little trio right there, like once we're one, our marriage is now a ministry. And my husband is a ministry for me personally. So, yeah, there's just a lot of shifting of things. And the boundaries, I feel like, are preparing us and setting us up for success. Okay. What character habits have you been working on to prep for marriage? I've been reading and listening to so many things. So, again, I would highly encourage you to listen to Things I Wish I'd Known Before We Got Married by Gary Chapman. It's on Spotify. You can listen to it on audiobook. The guy that reads it is pretty engaging. His voice isn't like really monotone and like boring or anything. So great listen. I listen to it when I'm at the gym. I get like, I don't know, a couple chapters and I just really lock in. It's great. Each chapter is like, I don't know, like 10 to 15 minutes. So you can get through like 5 chapters if you work out for like an hour. It's great. Another podcast episode that I suggest you listening to is the Stay True podcast with Madison Pruitt Trout. And it's entitled The Secret to Building a Marriage That Lasts with Jimmy Rollins. Such a great, great podcast. I loved that podcast. There were a lot of new things that I had heard because I take in a lot of this kind of information. I love to prep. I love a prep. I love to listen to, you know, things that help me in that season of life that I'm going through. So I've been listening to a lot of this, but a lot of what he brought up, I had never heard before, which was really, really good. Something that he said, he was like, a guy asked me how long my wife and I had been together. And I told him 15 years. And then he asked me how long I had loved her for. And I said 10. And I was like, ooh, and then he went into, you know, you got to love someone's trauma in order to fully love them. And I mean, there were just so many good things. I'll probably go back and listen to it again, but it was a great podcast. So I've been working on those things. I've been working on not taking everything so personally. I've been working on just because, like, if something goes wrong or if Ryan like needs help with something or whatever, like, it doesn't mean I'm a bad person. It just means that something went wrong. I just take things really personally. So I've been working on that. I've been working on, you know, logistic things like cleaning up after myself more and keeping things tidy in the house. A lot of it has to do with house, like putting the dishes right in the dishwasher and not letting them sit in the sink because, you know, in my house, like, I'm so grateful, again, so grateful. Like, my mom does the laundry and my mom cleans the floors and blah, 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 blah. But like, now that's my job. And Ryan and I actually made a list. I'm really, really glad that we did this. We made a list of who's going to do what chores, which it probably won't end up like that when we're actually married, but the idea is there. So that's good. Of who's going to do what chores, just because it eliminates the expectation that someone else will do it or, you know, whatever, blah, 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 and just sets into place like, okay, this is your job, so you do it. And this is my job, so I do it. And this is what we do. And it's even and it's split. So there's no resentment of, well, I do more than you or blah, 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 blah. Again, it's probably going to change when we're actually married, but the idea is there that we want to help each other out. We both want to put an effort to the house. And also then, like, say it's Ryan is in charge of emptying the dishwasher and that's like usually his job. Well, if Ryan's working late, I'll empty the dishwasher for him. He comes home, he sees it's empty and he feels loved and it's an act of service for him. So that's something we've also been working on, is just like, you know, implementing how to keep a clean house and different things like that. How did you set a budget? Struggling over here. That's what this person said. We started talking about money and budgeting really seriously when it came to our wedding. So what we did with our wedding is my parents, the way we're doing it is Ryan's family pays for, or Ryan pays for the rehearsal dinner and then we pay for the wedding. And that's where our talks of money started. And so Ryan and I are very much so aligned with a lot of what my hood keeps falling down. Oh, also this sweatshirt is from Lynx. I need to find the name on Instagram because I don't know how to fully pronounce it. I think it's Lynx or Lynx, L-Y-N-X. athletics, but they make clothes and also running apparel that spreads the gospel. Like, this literally says love your neighbor. Like, their tagline is like run for the Lord. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. I'm wearing shorts from them as well. They gave me some hats and stuff, but I'm in love with this hoodie. Behind on the back, it says 70 times 7. Anyways, so we sat down with my parents because my parents really set me up for success, and I'm so blessed to have parents that did money a lot this way. But my parents and Ryan and I as well align with a lot of, oh, what's the guy's name? Is his name Andrew Huberman? Yeah, Andrew Huberman. We align with a lot of what he says. I think his name's Andrew Huberman. But we sat down with my parents and we said, okay, what's the budget for the wedding? And they told us the budget and we said, okay, cut it in half and cut it over half. So we cut it over half and we set, you know, what money we wanted to take out of that budget. And we said, put that for a down payment on a house and let it grow. We're not going to touch it. So now this is our budget for the wedding. Okay. Ryan and I want to do a small wedding, so we don't want to spend above X amount because we want to use that money for our honeymoon. So within this budget that we took down, we want to have this much for our wedding and whatever else. We're going to try to save money as much as we can, put that left over from after we spend money on our honeymoon, whatever, and put it in savings. So that's when Ryan and I kind of realized, like, okay, we have the same alignment on how we do finances. When it comes to actually getting married, like, we're not like signing prenups or anything. Like, it's all us. We are together and we are savers. We are save in many different ways, like put this money here, this here. Something I struggle with is just having a scarcity mindset. But I think with Ryan's guidance, who he has a really great mindset of like money is to support and to free up and to feel, you know, liberation. You just got to know the numbers and budget correctly. He has a great outlook on it. I am someone who's like, just save because you never know and things are scary and life is scary. I think both of those mindsets that come together are really going to help us budget even further. I think we are going to budget to allow ourselves to enjoy and put more effort into areas that we really, really care about. Like, Ryan and I both really care about our health and eating healthy, which is expensive. Like, just straight up, it is expensive. But then it's like, okay, well, what are other ways that we can sacrifice? Well, Ryan and I, you know, we don't really, I mean, Ryan's into fashion, but not to a point where he's like spending a bunch of money on clothes. Like, and I'm not really too into fashion. I just kind of like wear things. I don't know. I do a lot of thrifting, whatever. So, you know, that's an area where we can sacrifice because we don't really spend too much money. Like, oh, we want to travel. Let's set up like a budget to travel and whatever. And this XYZ. I hope that helps. Again, I'm still kind of trying to navigate it as well, but I hope the wedding example kind of gives you some sort of insight. I'd love to get Ryan's opinion more and his facts more, but a lot of what we align with is Andrew Huberman and what he says. I think that's his name. I really hope that's his name. Anyways, guys, I've been talking for incredibly too long. I definitely want to continue this conversation on next week. So be on the lookout for that. I'm going to drag my fiance on and we're going to do this together for you guys. I love you so much. Go check out the Instagram. I post vlogs weekly. I post episodes weekly. We're going to have a party. It's going to be awesome. Also, I'm running the Austin Marathon in 3 weeks. If you want to donate to the Miracle Foundation, which is who I'm running with, they find a home for every family. They work in the foster care system. Please feel free to do so. Find a family for a child. Because we all deserve it. We all deserve to have a family. With that being said, I love you. Jesus loves you. And that's life. Guys, my mom just came in and informed me that the guy we listen to is not, in fact, Andrew Huberman. It is Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey. Andrew Huberman does health and fitness. Dave Ramsey does financial things. Anyways, that's all. Dave Ramsey. Thanks, Dave. Bye.